We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
My sermon this morning is entitled, Don't Be Afraid. How many of you think maybe you might need this sermon? Don't be afraid. My text this morning is not one text, but it's every text where Jesus says, don't be afraid. Hear Jesus say it. Don't be afraid. It's what Jesus says to Peter when Peter is afraid because he's a sinner. Don't be afraid. It's what Jesus says to the little flock of his frightened followers. Don't be afraid. It's what Jesus says to Jairus when his daughter has just died. Don't be afraid. It's what Jesus says to the frightened men in the storm. Don't be afraid. It's what Jesus says to the frightened women on Easter morn. Don't be afraid. Jesus is what God has to say. That really has been all that I've been preaching this year, I think. In different ways, with different sermons, different texts, different approaches to it. But really, if you would go back over my sermons during 2014, I think I've just been preaching one thing, saying again and again that Jesus is what God has to say. In the beginning was the Word, John says. In the beginning was the Logos, the divine logic, God's understanding of himself and all reality. And that word, which is the only word that does not signify something else but is the eternal word itself, that word became flesh. That word became just like one of these little babies that we just saw. That word became like that, a human being, and dwelt among us. Why? Because Jesus is what God has to say. And God could not say all that he has to say in a book, so he said it in a human life. Jesus is what God has to say. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ because Jesus is what God has to say. On the holy mountain, when Peter got the bright idea that he would build three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. That is, one for the law and one for the prophets and one for Jesus. God intervened and said, no, Peter, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Don't build three tabernacles. Listen to him. And Peter was so overwhelmed that he falls to the ground and Jesus touches him and says, don't be afraid. And when Peter opened his eyes, he saw no one but Jesus, because Jesus is what God has to say. The only thing Jesus ever wrote was written in the dust so that it would be blown away moments later. The only thing that Jesus ever wrote was written in dust because Jesus is what God has to say. Jesus is God's word to us, and think about it. Throughout his life, from beginning to end, on the Sea of Galilee and in the upper room, in Capernaum and in Jerusalem, on a mountain and on the sea, to men and to women, to multitudes and to individuals, before his death and after his resurrection, Jesus says this, don't be afraid. It seems as if this is what heaven has to say to earth. Now, in whatever way we understand the fall, that original transgression of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, however we understand the fall, it's pretty clear to me that its first effect was fear. Because the first time we hear human speech recorded in Scripture, what is Adam saying? I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, and I hid myself. Adam, is humankind imagining a monster God and being afraid. Something has gone wrong in Adam. Something has gone wrong in humankind where we imagine horrors where, in fact, our help is coming from. We become afraid of God and we hide from God. It's an effect from the fall. No doubt about it, we are at our worst and do our worst when we are driven and tormented by fear. If you think about it, if you take fear off the table, how many enemies do you really have? Take fear off the table. Say, if it's not for fear, well, I don't have fear, how many enemies do you have left? Probably none. Take fear off the table, and how many worried thoughts do you have? You have none. Fear is imagination gone wrong. I think it's another effect of the fall. We're always imagining death. I mean, that's what happens. In this transgression in the garden, there's this, a line is crossed. And we're told that the result is death. But they don't die immediately. But what they do immediately do is begin to dread death. Now they are aware of the final dissolution. And now they are aware that death is what awaits them. And so with the fall, we have the birth of fear, and all fear is founded in the fear of death. Maybe this is why when angels come to humans, as recorded in Scripture, all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, it's over and over and over. Every time an angel comes, it seems like the first thing the angel says to the human being is, "Don't be afraid." I think this is what heaven has to say to earth. Don't be afraid. It seems like the conversation between heaven and earth is just repeatedly like this. I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. 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 Angels say it. Prophets say it. Psalmists say it. But Jesus is the final and perfect Word of God. Jesus is what God has to say. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. In the book of Hebrews, we find this text, Hebrews 2:14. Since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and set free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. All fear is founded and rooted in the fear of death. All fear is a form of the fear of death. Now, you may not immediately recognize that. You may say, well, I'm really not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of other things. Well, you're just afraid of death in another form. So that when I say that all fear is a form of the fear of death, I mean it's the fear of loss. That's what you're afraid of. You're afraid of. The loss of control, the loss of place, the loss of position. That is a form of the fear of death. Loss of control, loss of place, loss of possession, it's all just a form of the fear of death. But the fear of death is all a lie. It's a lie. And it's proved to be a lie in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because, yes, this is Mother's Day, but it's also the fourth Sunday in Easter. And so I'm still preaching Easter sermons. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is God proving that the fear of death is a lie. He's exposing that lie. And what is it that the risen Christ says to us? Don't be afraid. Amen. Death is not the end. Death will be an experience. We all experience that loss at some time or another in our life. The loss of control, the loss of place, the loss of possession. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. That's not the end. Death is not something that is terminal. It's a transition. You pass through it. We talk about terminal. That means death. An illness that is terminal, it means it terminates in death. But death itself is not terminal. Death itself is not the final destination. Death is something you pass through. And in various ways, you will pass through it many times in life. You already have passed through. How many of you have learned that sometimes what you thought was the end, it was in fact a new beginning? That was almost good preaching right there. I was just about to amen myself. What you thought was the end in the moment was in fact a new beginning. What you thought was the end turned out to be Easter. Hallelujah. Now, because Jesus is what God has to say, Jesus says, don't be afraid. Because that's true, we can say it to each other, don't be afraid. In fact, just turn to somebody next to you and just go ahead and do that. Just do that. Just be interactive here a little bit and say, don't be afraid. Just say it to them, don't be afraid. And you can also say it to yourself. Don't be afraid. Have you ever wondered? I don't know. Maybe everybody's not as weird as I am. Probably. But have you ever wondered what it might be like if you could go back in time and speak to your younger self? I don't know if you've ever thought about it. I've thought about that quite a bit recently. It's just been kind of a fantasy, a thought. When I first started doing this exercise, I really didn't know what I would say. What would I say to my younger self? As time has gone by, I have... there's so much I'd want to say. I'd want to give advice, I'd want to give counsel, I'd want to give correction. Now that thing you're doing, stop that. Quit being like that. How many of you understand that you might want to say that to your former self? I don't know that much of that would be heard. The one thing I've decided I would say is don't be afraid. And so I thought maybe I'd just do a little of that today, see how it goes. This is an interesting concept for a sermon. It's kind of risky. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but oh well, it's only one. But I thought I'd just get in my time machine. Get in a time machine. I mean, you got your choices. You got Doctor Who's TARDIS. You got Doc Brown's DeLorean. You even got Bill and Ted's phone booth. I'm kind of partial to Doctor Who, so I'm going to get in my TARDIS. And I thought I would just go back, you know, I'd go back 50 years, because that's how, I'm old, I'm an old dude, but I'm still at it. I thought I'd go back 50 years, and then maybe 40, 30, 20, 10, move up towards where I am now and talk to myself. So if I could, I'd get in that time machine, and I'd, you know, it's got dials, I guess, you know, I've never actually been in a time machine, but I figure that's how it works. All the time machines I've ever seen on TV like work like this. I just set the dial to 1964. That's really the beginning of the 60s. The 60s don't begin in the 60s. They begin in 64 and they go through 74. From the assassination of President Kennedy in November of 63 to the resignation of President Nixon in 73 or 74, whenever it was. So that's how it works. And so this is the beginning of the 60s and the Beatles and Bob Dylan and all that's just coming on. But I want to go back and talk to a five-year-old child. A five-year-old child who's just beginning school. He's going to be heading off to kindergarten. He won't like it very much. And in fact, one day he'll just get up and say, I'm going home now. And did. You say, didn't the teacher try to stop him? The teacher wasn't as fast as he was. He got all the way home and was shocked to find out that his mom was going to send him back. I want to talk to that boy. Because you see, it was beginning with school, and it's not school's fault, don't misunderstand me, but it was the beginning with school that I learned the fear of failure. Of not measuring up, of not being accepted, of not succeeding, because that's where you first, at least that's where I first began to encounter, you know, competition and grades and popularity and schoolyard fights and all of that sort of thing. And so I want to go talk to that five-year-old child, and I just want to say to him, don't worry about all that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. You are accepted as you are. Don't be afraid. That's what I'd say to that little five-year-old. Get back in the time machine. Set it for 1974. Get ready to push the button and say, you can't talk to a 15-year-old. There's no point. My mom and dad couldn't talk to that 15-year-old. We'll skip that one. We'll move it up. We're not going to 74. Right? That 15-year-old, he's going to be all right, but I mean, you can't tell him anything. So we won't even bother with that one. So we'll set it for 1984. Because there is a 25-year-old pastor with a struggling church. That was one of the lowest ebbs of his life, my life. Talking about myself in the third person, it's weird. But I'm also in a time machine visiting myself, and that's pretty weird too. I'm going to go talk to this 25-year-old pastoring this little tiny church down on 11th Street, 11th and Sycamore. And he's having a hard go of it. So I thought I'd just, you know, set the dial for 1984, 11th and Sycamore, take my TARDIS there, pop in and talk to this guy, because this is where my kindergarten fears became grown-up fears, but it's still the same fear. It's the fear of failure. And there's a lot I would like to say to him. I thought about it. I thought I'd like to say a lot to him. I'd like to teach him to pray. I'd like to have my prayer class with him. I would love to do that, but that takes 5 weeks. We don't have that long. So I can't teach him my prayer class. And so what I would say is something like this. I would say, hard times will come and hard times will go. People will come and people will go. But Jesus will never forsake you. Don't be afraid. And with that, I get in my TARDIS and be off. Set the dial for 1994. Because I need to talk to a 35-year-old pastor in the middle of a terrifying building project. Trying to get this place built, and it wasn't going well, and it was terrifying. Because, you see, this is where I learned. 1994 at 35 is where I learned the bigger your dreams, the bigger your nightmares. But it's still the same old fear, the fear of failure. And so I would go and I would talk to that 35-year-old. And I would say something like this. When your head is full of horrors, don't live in your head. Live in the moment and trust God. That's what I would say. When your head is full of horrors, don't live in your head. Live in the moment and trust God. And so my 35-year-old self might say, well, then it works out all right then. I say, I can't tell you the future. That's against the rules. That's not permitted. I can't tell you the future. What I can tell you is, don't be afraid. Set the dial one more time. Only going back 10 years. 2004. Need to talk to a 45-year-old pastor in the middle of a terrifying theological transition. That's where I learned that courage is actually nothing but fear that has said its prayers. If you think that courage is not having fear, you'll never find courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. courageous fear that said its prayers. And so I would set that dial for 2004, go back 10 years ago. That doesn't seem like very long ago. And I would say, well, BZ, it's going to be harder than you think. Cost you more than you know, but keep going. Keep going, because you can't be true to yourself if you unknow what you already know. So stay on the journey, follow Jesus, keep going, and most of all, don't be afraid. That's what I would say to myself. Now, if I'm going to say that to myself when I'm 5, can't say it when I'm 15, can't talk to 15-year-olds. If I'm going to say it to myself when I'm 25, if I'm going to say it to myself when I'm 35, if I'm going to say it to myself when I'm 45, and I keep thinking about, well, what would I say to those different incarnations of myself at these various junctures in life? And it turns out that even though life was very different at each of those places, I end up with saying the same thing, don't be afraid. Well, maybe it's what I need to say to my 55-year-old self. And this is not just purely an exercise in self-revelation, but I'm actually seeking to try to help you, because really when it's all said and done, I'm gambling on that I am not that much different than you. Amen. And that you would in fact, if you really think about it, probably want to say to some of your earlier selves, don't be afraid. Well, maybe this is the moment where your future self is coming back to you right now and saying that. Maybe this is that moment. Maybe we're in some weird time vortex. And maybe in this one moment, God has just, you know, suspended the ordinary timeline continuum. And for just one moment, our future self has been able to come back to our present self and say, it's all true. You can trust Jesus. Don't be afraid. Amen. I want to do one more thing. I'm going to ask Eric to come up to the piano. Didn't tell him I was going to do this, but I want to spend a little bit of time. We have a few minutes left. I want to spend a little bit of time in a kind of a contemplative exercise, and I just want to help you. Maybe Aaron, we can bring the lights down. Maybe, see, I'm just directing the service. We have all these meetings beforehand, but then sometimes you just make it up as you go. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to try to be quiet. Try to still your soul a little bit. And I'm going to take you to three places where in the Gospels we hear Jesus speak, don't be afraid. Those episodes aren't in the Gospel, and there are more than three, but that's what we have time for. I'm going to take you to three. All of these accounts of Jesus in the Gospel are there not just to give you some history, but because they are living moments that can live in your life. So first of all, I want to take you here. You're on a stormy sea, and everything is out of control. You are used to being in control. You know how to use the sails and the oars and the rudders. You direct your life around that sea. But now, forces so much greater than you have taken over, and everything's out of control. You're just along for the ride, and it's terrifying. Everything is out of control. You cannot bend circumstances to your will. You cannot make things the way you want them to be. Everything in the moment is how you would not want it to be, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're on a stormy sea. It's dark. It's at night. It's terrifying, and everything is out of control. And Jesus comes to you. He comes to you walking upon the tumultuous waves. He comes to you out of the darkness. He comes to you. He comes because He knows you're in trouble. It's not a coincidence. He's coming to you because you're in trouble. And He comes to you on the stormy sea when everything is out of control, and He says this: don't be afraid. Hear Him say that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And the one reason that you have now to not be afraid is this. The storm is raging, everything's out of control, but Jesus is with you. And so fear fades away because Jesus is with you. Change of scene. You're in a locked room, hiding from the world. You feel like the world is an enemy and the future is not a friend. So you're hiding in a locked room, trying to find some security by not engaging with the wider world. You're living in a locked room. You don't let others in. You bar the door. You draw the shades. You shut the windows. You're living in a locked room because you feel like you can't face what's on the other side. You feel like the world is an enemy and the future is not a friend. Though others may occasionally knock on the door, you don't let them in. You're living in a locked room. You feel like the only way you can have any possibility of peace of mind is to bank everything on security. And the only way you know to go about security is to keep everybody else out. And suddenly, no one has knocked at the door. But Jesus is in the room. He's just there. Suddenly He's there. And He says, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. As my Father sent me, I'm sending you, so take the bar away from the door. Get ready to step out there. The world is not your enemy. The future is your friend. I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Change of scene. You're at a lonely cemetery, knowing all is lost. It's just you and tombstones. Maybe you're there because of a particular tombstone. The loneliness of the scene is typical of the loneliness you feel. All alone. In a cemetery, confused, hurt, upset. You notice somebody else, you think, well, it's one of the caretakers here at the cemetery, somebody here that works here, somebody here that mows the grass and takes care of things. But this person walks up to you and calls you by your name. He says, "Brian, don't be afraid." He calls you by your name and says, "Don't be afraid." Suddenly you realize it's Jesus. And he says to you, "I know that death is all around, but I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the end. Don't be afraid." Now I want you to pick one of those scenes. The stormy sea where everything's out of control. Or the locked room where you are hiding from the world. Or the lonely cemetery where you feel that all is lost. Pick one of those scenes and center on that one. And let Jesus come to you. And hear him say, "Don't be afraid." Pick one of them. Is it the stormy sea? It's all happening right now, so crazy, so out of control. Is it the locked room where you're just too afraid to face the outside world because you view the world as an enemy and the future is not a friend? Is it that lonely cemetery where the craziness is all over, but it just seems like death has won and everything's empty? It feels like the end. Pick the one that you feel like you need to be at. Try to see Jesus. Maybe close your eyes now. Try to see Jesus. However you see him. Walking to you on the waves, appearing in that locked room. Mistaken for a moment as the gardener, but it's not. He comes to you and he says, "Don't be afraid." Now dare to take Jesus at his word. Dare to believe that when Jesus says, "Don't be afraid," he's not offering cheap, hollow, empty encouragement. But he's telling you the truth, that you just don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be. Not even in the storm where everything's out of control. Not even in the locked room where you're hiding from the world. Not even at the cemetery when it sure looks like death is the end. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. None of it's true. I'll calm the storm. I'll take you out of this room. I'll raise the dead." Let Jesus say that to you. Now just open to him, maybe even with a gesture of your hands, open to him. And may the peace of Christ come to you. May the peace of Christ come to you. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, may the peace of Christ come to you. May you hear the resurrected Christ saying to you, "Don't be afraid." Amen.